Yeah, so should we have our usual table, Mark? It's available.
It looks clean. Let's go and sit down up there.
Let's do it.
So, today, a bigger subject for us to discuss. Competitive space. Where do we start?
Where does it end? I don't think it ends.
No.
I think we're still on a journey. Yeah.
We are. How do we explain to somebody about competitive space? Because it's definitely not just one thing.
And it's not the knots as well. We've had a hell of a ride trying to say we're not this and not that. So,
no,
it's new. It's new. It's 8 years in the making, but brand new.
Yes, I think that it's very exciting because it is totally new. And what I really like about it is we haven't borrowed it from regurgitated things that sort of float around on the internet. I see that so often. I mean, I've been in this industry a long, long time, and all of that stuff. I mean, I have listened and I have tried to apply some of it, and there are sometimes good nuggets, but there's an awful lot of rubbish out there, regurgitated rubbish from so-called gurus who, you know, 20-year-olds working in their parents' basement. I mean, I know it's not always like that, but it is. I've seen it.
Personally, I hate the guys on the Lamborghinis and jets. Maybe there's a little bit of jealousy in there that they've done it based on something like that, but no. There's no substance to it. There's no substance to it. And there is certainly a lot of substance to competitive space.
Yes. So it's taken 8 years. It's taken 30 years of my experience in the software sector, and you're in
20-plus years in marketing. Cognitive design and marketing. So, yeah.
And it's the combination of those skills. And it also has been fed by, you know, studying over 400 of the most successful software companies for 3 years. So add that to it as well. I mean, I think that was...
Yeah, we're learning lessons through the guys who've actually done it, achieved it.
And that's ongoing. So that didn't stop, because the industry is always changing, isn't it, all the time. So
yeah, you can't afford to stop, not in this industry.
No. So that's really important. And I think if we wanted to encapsulate it into one line, I would say that it's about strategic positioning and scientific communication to make your business grow faster and be more successful.
Yeah. It is a combination of those two major elements, and we do build in an awful lot of science into what we've done. We don't just go, how did they do it? Why was it achieved? What was it? What were the principles behind it? And one of the things that you and I have had a laugh about is we both discovered that we were the children who took things apart.
Yes.
See how it worked?
Yes.
And we've done that. We've done that with the industry. We've taken the fastest growing companies and our experiences and go, why did that work? What's behind it? What's the actual mechanism that makes that work? And unlike our, you know, childish shell cells, we've learned how to put it back together in a simpler, more effective way. So, you know, the structure of competitive space is built on not just the how they did it, but the why it works, and in a simpler way to actually make it work for you.
The exciting bit for me has been understanding the true cause and effect, because
yes.
I think it's very easy to make a mistake there. And then part of it has been, sometimes it's been an instinctive reaction where we believe that the answer lies in this direction and obviously testing it, but then seeing that it does work and getting to understand the science behind it, which yes. validates that result, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. I mean, the key thing here is just not accepting what is a given, you know, the sort of more traditional tactical things that are doing okay. We challenge that. Both of us are very driven to say, can it be better? Can it be, you know, more efficient, better results? And science allows us to do that. It allows us to go in further to the actual mechanisms that get responses. And competitive space is all about the cognitive science and how to get the information across. It's also about psychology. We're all human beings. So there's really great science out there that supports, you know, how to go about gaining attention, keeping yourself memorable, being compelling, you know, gaining the understanding, you know. It's all part of competitive space.
Yes. I mean, and when we talk about the sort of the layers of competitive space, because that is an important point to get across, I think that a lot of solutions that I see, they sort of pivot on, if you do this, then you'll have success. Mm-hmm. And I think instinctively we all know that success isn't that easy. So it would be nice from the point of view explaining what competitive space was, if it was just one thing. But just to give that sort of top level, it is about strategic positioning. Mm-hmm. But it's a mixture of skills, isn't it? It's the cognitive behavioral science. It's psychology. It's about the power of storytelling and narrative. It's about the power of visuals, and it's about how to communicate effectively with words. I think that's a really important aspect of this. And I think a lot of software companies do that very poorly.
Yeah, absolutely. The language they use is difficult and very exclusive, and we're big advocates of the conversational language. You know, how would you explain it to a friend, your mother, you know, a young child? And inside that is a much cleaner, easier way to make yourself understood. But it's this multi-layered cake that fascinates me, because just 3 or 4 days ago, I had one person LinkedIn message me saying, I have the one successful secret to grow your business fast. Not one. Just can't work.
No,
you know,
that's right.
Unless that's Warren Buffett or something, you know. There's the I have an investor called Warren Buffett. Oh yeah, okay, right.
That might work. Yes, you can that make a few work. Mistakes, the... can't you?
But that again is at the core of what competitive space is about. It's outsmarting the competition, not outspending them.
Yes, that's key, isn't it?
It is. I mean, anyone can come in and spend literally hundreds of thousands on campaigns and messaging and adverts and all the tactical stuff that all the other agencies advocate. But actually what we do is we change the whole way you communicate and position yourself at a strategic level.
Yes.
And you can invest smartly in what really delivers your ideal prospects, the right message at the right time.
It's also about the deliverables that come from this, because one thing that I've seen a lot of companies get caught up in, almost like a hamster on the wheel, is becoming what we call social media slaves. Yes. Where you buy into this idea that you have to create content marketing. I mean, do a search for content marketing on Google. And you could spend your rest of your life reading all of the pages that will come up from it and still not read more than 10%. There's just so much. And I think because there is so much, a lot of companies have bought into it. I've got to do this. And once you start, you know, I've seen people saying, talking about producing 80 pieces of posts a day.
God almighty.
There's not many companies I've come across personally that do that. But I have seen them have, you know, working really hard, producing lots of content that actually works against them, and they can't see it.
I think that's the interesting word for me there, is the hard work.
Yes.
We're big advocates of working smart.
Yes.
So producing one message, one communication that reaches the 20 or 30 people that you need in your pipeline today, and getting them engaged and actively involved, is so much smarter than slavishly thinking, I need a million followers and 10 million people hitting my website. You know, how many of those are actually relevant prospects to your business?
Yes. Yes, the numbers game doesn't always work in that way, does it?
It doesn't. No. But, I mean, I do agree with you. I mean, your background, more sales, my background, more marketing. You do always have to feed that machine. You have to have a constant supply of hungry people who see you as the obvious choice.
Yes.
But don't become fixated on the number. It's actually who gets out the other end of your customer prospect journey and says, I'm going to do business with you. Here's the check.
Yes. And you're talking about, you know, marketing and sales. It's important that marketing and sales and all elements of your business speak with the same coherent story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about them being robotic and saying word for word the same, but it mustn't conflict and it mustn't confuse. They need to be able to say in a relatively short amount of time, this is what we do, and this is why I think it should be important to you.
And I think the human brain, you know, with my background in cognitive science, the human brain is an amazing machine, and it will pick out inconsistencies immediately, and it will red flag them. It's actually how the police conduct interviews. They will ask the same question from different people, but they will look for inconsistencies in your story.
Yes.
And as soon as there's an inconsistency in your story, they ascribe and penetrate and drill down into that. And our brains are naturally like that. So if your story as a company is inconsistent, you're red flagging things. Do they really know what they're about? Are they telling me the truth? Is this actually what I'm going to get? By simplifying your story and making it understandable and recognizable and consistent, you're saying we're true, we're honest, we're direct, there's no red flags in anything that we're saying. It also makes it easier to remember.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the elements the positive deliverables that come from competitive space is being able to grab the attention of your target market, having a way that you can simply explain what it is that you do in a consistent way, being memorable,
and yes,
being competitive so that you can beat your competition,
yeah,
and ultimately so that you become the obvious choice in your sector.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it, isn't it? In a nutshell.
It is in a nutshell. Absolutely right. And behind that is, as you say, it's more strategic than any other offering out there. It's about the strategic nature of aligning the entire C-suite and your business behind this way of positioning and knowing yourself and communicating about yourself. And then there's good rig science in how you use different channels, different mechanisms, different psychology to bring your prospects on that journey.
And ultimately that means being more successful, growing faster, growing more profitably. I mean,
yes.
What more could you want?
Absolutely that. One of the targets we're looking to get is a massive compression in your sales cycle.
Mm.
Because the traditional ones are just not working. The messages are mixed and confused. There's independent actors. You know, it's a bit of an ominous journey for your prospect to go through. And if they finally make it, good for them. But actually, it's all about simplifying that journey for them as well.
Don't let your prospects wrestle their way through your marketing and sales process. You have to understand the way the human brain works to make it more engaging and make that path much easier. And that's what competitive space is about.
It is. And there's some amazing real-life examples out there. We always point to it as sort of apex one. But for me, Amazon, for the good and bad, has managed to make the whole buying thing seamless, absolutely seamless, of one-click buy and it's on my doorstep the next day. And how have they done that? They've approached the whole thing from the customer prospect's perspective and made it so simple.
Yes.
I'm only one click away from the thing that I want or desire.
And understanding the psychological stages that a buyer goes through, or somebody buying anything really, you go through similar psychological stages. Understand that and seeing it from their perspective is sort of one element to the success of competitive space.
And we've had people say, oh, my buyers are different. You know, my buyers are really cynical, dyed-in-the-wool, techie types.
What do you mean we've had some? Like every single client says it. Every time.
You know, as if we've got a new subset who's not a human being. That's the bit that are they human beings? Because if they are, then they react the same way. I mean, it's just, honestly. The other line that I do find hilarious was, what if I don't like this? You know, the solution that you offer, what if I don't like this? And I'm thinking, well, are you your potential buyer then? You know, because we're targeting the ideal prospects, not you as a company. Yes, you've got to be comfortable with it. Yes, you've got to really appreciate what it can do for you. But it's about the minds of your prospects, the people who will buy, that we're trying to make this mechanism work for you.
Yes, I think it's about being objective, and it's making it as engaging and compelling for as many within your target market, and that's important, understanding your target market, as possible for those ideal clients as possible, and then making that path through from I've never heard of you, gaining their attention right the way through to I'm going to sign the contract with you, I'm happy to move forward.
Yeah. And it builds momentum. Your credibility will rocket. That's the self-perpetuating thing about it. You'll become known for this ease of interaction and your consistent story. And more people will come because of that.
Mm. Well, I think hopefully we've given a sort of an overview understanding.
We can talk for days on this.
I fancy another coffee, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I might even have a cake, but that's my thing.
I'll get you a cake as well.
All right, okay. Thank you, Mark. Cheers.